NowTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken, Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to The Rack, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're listening on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free for 30 days. 30 days, guys. That's what you get for free with your Prime Gaming. So click that button if you want to subscribe. And, well, if you want to subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, you can click that little purple button, too. Or you can just hang out in chat. We are happy to have you. And speaking of doing things and hanging out and whatnot, you can use the balls command in chat, and it will take you to manscaped.com, where you can use code WTRLIVE and get 20% off plus free shipping. Black Friday is next week, guys. Next week. You gotta get those gifts. You gotta get those manscaping gifts. So go check it out, manscaped.com, for that deal. Anything in their store, 20% off plus free shipping. It's pretty epic stuff. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here, but live. I have energy this Thursday, unlike last Thursday, so...
He feels better.
We're good. You tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RockRadioShow, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or directly at Twitch.tv/WTLive to interact with us throughout the night, because we have a lot to get into this evening. We have full news, we have NXT, and we have a preview of a pay-per-view happening this Sunday, live on the WWE Network, where we say goodbye to a phenom, a legend.
Say it. Oh, but say it so.
The old wrestling grandpa, The Undertaker.
The Undertaker is taking that last trail home. Probably not for good. I'm sure we will see him again, but this is the final farewell. So we will be talking all about that and what could potentially happen, because I have little doubt that The Undertaker may do something special on his way out. But I say we don't waste any time and we jump into the news, brought to our friends at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And, well, I don't want to lead with this, but I do. because this is actually one of the biggest stories out there.
Yeah, that's right. Ring of Honor is returning to pay-per-view for the first time in months, chat. Yes, Ring of Honor is returning to pay-per-view with Final Battle 2020 on December 18th, the first pay-per-view of the pandemic era. Ring of Honor is back.
Ding. Not quite, but good segue. So, last Friday, during SmackDown...
A couple hours before,
a rather interesting thing transpired in the fact that one Zelina Vega was rather mysteriously released, and no cause has been given. She immediately took to Twitch to basically say that there's no hard feelings, that she's very grateful to WWE, and she also tweeted out that she supports unionization, so I believe there is a theory that she kind of spoke up about the Twitch stuff, about the third-party stuff.
It's not a theory. It's actual fact.
Okay, well, I'm just making sure, theory, that she basically spoke out against what they're doing and how they're kind of exploiting that a little bit for their own benefit, because in case you didn't, like, realize basically what they're doing, at least the rumor that I heard, and again, I don't know if it's 100% fact, is that basically WWE is going to take the money they make from Twitch, they're going to give them back a percentage of it, but they're going to take that percentage out of their downsides for what they're getting paid.
That is the rumor. That is what's being talked about. WWE is going to have their own Twitch staff, I guess. They're going to get more heavily involved in Twitch going forward, as they're looking for motion graphic designers, etc. Talent, brand managers, etc.
Which isn't 100% fair to the talent, because essentially now they're netting $0 for Twitch based on something that they have created and put their blood, sweat, and tears into, and their own personal time and equipment. And essentially WWE is like, yeah, you work for us, so we're going to take this from you, which is not cool at all. So Zelina was one of the people who was upset by the ruling when it first came out, and she spoke up to WWE about it, and she was released as a result. Now
she went against them. She continued to do things. She started the OnlyFans. She kept her third party deals when they told her not to. And
you know what? Honestly, good on her.
Yeah, it's she did the right thing.
Because again, I can understand like the endorsement deals, and they want some control over the endorsement deals and who they're working with.
Clearly they are. Because talk about it in a minute. Continue.
We'll talk about it in a minute, but yeah, I understand that. I understand that, especially for the Twitch stuff, you want to set some guidelines. Don't stream under your ring name, because they do own that. That is copyrighted material. So yes, I absolutely get that ruling. You know, don't talk shop. Don't do anything disparaging. That would embarrass the company. You know, stuff like that. I can see them setting ground rules, and we've talked about this before, where it's like, I feel like if they had set some ground rules with it, it would have been fine. But the fact that they're just coming in and they're basically making all the main roster talent shut down their Twitch accounts and all their other third-party stuff, because NXT is still allowed to stream.
So here's what's funny about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
WWE has finally taken notice of Twitch and what Twitch is about and how it could be beneficial and how economically it could benefit someone. It's come at the same point in time when the record labels are doing the exact same thing.
Which is not right.
Well, the record labels have every right, but
that's the DMCA stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Record labels are taking notice how much they're losing money because of people playing their music. WWE is realizing, hey, we could get a cut of this money for the same reason. They see the pandemic has shown us one thing. There are resources out there for talent to make money in other places. And is now given larger corporations, when you have big variety of articles about Twitch and how big it's becoming and how many people are watching the platform, people take notice of it. It's good and bad.
It's good and bad, and I feel like WWE, they could have worked something else out with it, and maybe they will at some point, but I just don't think it's right that they're going to come in and say to someone, oh, hey, by the way, we know that you set this up, and we know that you've run this for years, and we know that you've put all your work, your time, your money, and invested in this channel. We know you've done all of that on your own, probably with the exception of Woods, who even he built his channel to a point, and then WWE, he licensed Up Up Down Down to them. But it's like for everybody else, it's like you put the time and the effort and the money and everything into this channel, and we have done sweet fuck all to help you, do this, but we're going to come in and take it anyway. Like, that's my issue with it. It is like, you can't claim eminent domain over something that you had no part of. And just to say, it's like weak to say, well, we own your likeness. Well, that's bullshit. They're an independent contractor. They can do what they want in their private time. You don't dictate what they do in their private time. If they want to go stream on Twitch and talk about aliens, they can.
You hear that, right? Why I go get Twitch and start talking about aliens?
I seem surprised he hasn't.
But here's the thing with Zelina. She's making a lot of money on Twitch. She is a very popular Twitch streamer. She gets a billion subs. She gets the donations and all that.
Oh, yeah.
She's, when it comes to the scale of pay, she's, I would say, average to middle of the road on the WWE roster. One could assume, right? In terms of pay, right? On the downside?
Yeah. So middle.
So her earning extra income, like she has been, is very beneficial for her. Someone like AJ Styles can put up all the fight he wants about his Twitch channel. His Twitch channel is not making him the money he would be making in WWE.
No. But that being said, if AJ were to retire tomorrow, he could still make an incredibly healthy living on Twitch.
Oh, yeah. But it's not what his WWE contract was. So he could put up the fight, but he's not going to go, I'm going to quit and fire me over it. He's not going to put that fight up. Because financially, it makes no sense for him.
Yeah. But, I mean, I stand with Zelina on this. I think she was in the right. I think it's a stupid ruling by WWE. I think what it is, and I've said this before, is it's a generational misunderstanding where the people that are trying to do this don't necessarily understand what Twitch is and what Twitch does. And all they're seeing is the revenue streams and the dollar signs. And they're going to take something that was completely organic and homegrown and try to take it over and run it. And they'll probably run it into the ground would be my best guess, but we'll see what they do there. Interestingly, what sprouted from this is Zelina's story and her support of unionization led to her meeting with the president of SAG, which is the Screen Actors Guild. And SAG is very interested in potentially creating a branch for professional wrestlers, professional wrestling within their organization to protect those performers and protect them from exploitation.
Now I need to make one point, because this has to be a point that needs to be made. With the whole independent contractor thing, don't just blame WWE when things go wrong with independent contractors, guys. Please. There's another ship out there that's still doing the independent contractor thing. They're going to say they're not, but a lot of their talent, independent contractors. So just play fair, internet. Play fair. That's all.
Yeah.
Just play fair.
But in this case, in the Twitch stuff, WWE does stand alone.
Oh, WWE for now.
For now. I mean, it's like, here's the thing. WWE, in their defense, which I don't really want to defend them in this case, but in their defense, WWE is trying to find revenue streams to help support the overall product. And I understand that they are posting record profits. I get that. But eventually record profits dry up if you do nothing. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to identify and allocate additional revenue streams that they can put into the company to help to continue to support the company, especially since they are now out of the PC. They're renting space. So that's an expense. They've built the sets. That's an expense. And they're not having any audiences in the actual physical buildings that are paying for tickets. And we are now on month 8 or 9 of them not having paying fans at events. That's a problem. And they've laid off some staff to try to alleviate it, but I think they're trying to avoid laying off and firing as many people as they can, because eventually you're going to get down to the point where you can't lay people off anymore. And then at that point, what do you do? So they're trying to basically keep the business afloat and honor all their commitments to their investors and everything else. That's what they're trying to do. I don't agree with it. I don't think it's right, but I understand what they're doing from a business standpoint. I just think there was a better way.
They could have had a different approach to it.
Where it's, hey, we'll basically work out some kind of sponsorship thing where we're going to create a Twitch, basically a gaming org, a WWE gaming org, where you can opt in and then you pay a certain percentage in the org, whatever it is, 20-30%. And then that gives you access to specific things within that org, like editors, mods, marketing tools, management, And then they identify specific third-party opportunities that might be good for you, which you go out and do, and then they take a cut of the third-party opportunity because they hook it up. Like, there was a way that they could have worked this that it would have benefited everybody, but as it stands, they're basically coming in, taking 100% of the profits, keeping 100% of the profits by dressing it up as, oh yeah, we're going to give it back to you, but we're going to take it out of your downside. And in this instance, they're, at least for right now, based on what we're hearing about it, they're fucking their talent really, really hard. And a lot of people don't deserve that, especially right now in a pandemic. They don't deserve it. It's like, y'all are all about them making their own brands. People have done that, and now you're taking it away. And that's not cool. So, very sad Zelina got released, but hopefully something good comes of it.
So, chat, I need a favor. I need a favor from everyone. One, go to manscaped.com. Use code WTRLive, save 20% off. Two, anyone want to be the top D of the day and donate $1,000, like, right now? Anyone? No?
No.
No? Oh, shame. Because you, if you have a spare $1,000 and give it to us, we then could turn it over to WWE to get a cameo from The Undertaker.
One of 30.
One of 30. There's been 11 sold so far.
I mean, I do have to appreciate that for a grand, you get it in under an hour. I do have to appreciate that. Like, you gotta well, admit, the man is on that shit.
No, okay, it's not under an hour. They're all gonna be done Sunday.
Okay.
The hour is because none's been replied to yet.
Ah.
He's doing it one day only, 30 of them on Sunday.
I just find it, so he's gonna be at the building doing cameos, yeah. Which means they're gonna set up a whole little thing. So yeah. He's not going to be on a phone. It's probably going to be professionally filmed with The Undertaker, so he's going to be sitting there.
You're going to get your money's worth for it. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, yeah, I saw that, and it's like, a grand? What the fuck do you get for a grand? Because it's like, goddamn, that man better come to my house and shake my hand personally for that. Like, shit. The Mark Calloway World Tour. 30 stops.
But yeah, so if you want the cameo, it's $1,000.
Actually, what's really hilarious is I always used to joke with friends that when he retires, he should just, like, sell himself on eBay, because he could probably make a fucking fortune doing it. Same thing.
Yeah, it's the modern version of eBay.
Just tore himself out on eBay. I mean, I have to appreciate it. Like, I really do. I think this is a combination of him and WWE, and they're just fucking going for it. Like, I feel like they've sat on him for 30 years, and they haven't been able to do any of the shit with him. And so now they can, because, like, I saw an interview that he gave where he had to eat chicken wings, or he was eating, like, chicken wings and sampling hot sauce.
He was on the hot ones, yeah.
And you know that was, like, his happiest day ever, because he just got to sit there and eat chicken wings and do an interview. Like, he got fed for free.
Yeah, he did.
So, you know that's a happy man right there when he just gets to sit there and eat chicken wings and talk.
All right, what else is in the news?
Well, on to some happier news. Really quickly, we have to send a shout out and a congratulations to one Alexa Bliss, because she and Ryan Cabrera are engaged. He got down on one knee over the weekend and proposed to her on their 1 year anniversary, I believe, and she said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Tearfully. It's very cute. The video's out on her Instagram. And then last night,
mid promo
on AEW. John Moxley drops that Renee Young is pregnant, which, congratulations to them. That's amazing. I think we've all been waiting for that for a long time from them. And the best response ever from Renee Young was, now I can finally tell you guys how sore my boobs are.
And that appropriate. And she also spoiled it to Bailey, thinking she was texting her husband.
Which is great.
Yeah.
She's like, damn it. Speaking of AEW, Matt Sydal has been officially signed to the company, so congratulations to him.
I feel like he debuted, and I guess he was under pay-per-play, and was like, now let's make it official, even though everyone kind of assumed he was already there. It felt like, this one feels like, hey, we need to get ourselves in the news, so let's just make this one known.
Ryan Cabrera, Ash, he's a musician. He's on Miz and Mrs. He's one of Miz's friends, actually,
so
which is weird.
It is weird, but then because I thought about it today, or the other day, I was like, wait, I remember Ryan Cabrera from something, and it took me back. It's like, he was on an MTV show long time ago, the Ashley Simpson show.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I had to look it up because I remember seeing it before, and I was like, oh, that's where I remember him from.
So, going back to gaming.
Gaming?
This is super cool, and it's well-deserved. So, Gears 5. They've announced a DLC.
Available now.
Available now. Holla at you boys, because New Day has their own custom DLC characters for the game.
Pretty cool.
And they look sick.
Yeah, they do.
They look so sick. There's pictures on E and Xavier and Kofi's Twitters. You can go check them out. But yeah, those are available now for purchase. So please go buy them, because that is just too cool for school. I'm sorry. It is. It's just so cool that they're actually in the game as DLCs.
Yeah.
Also, WWE Supercard Season 7 is now available for your playing pleasure, so please go enjoy that.
Yes, it comes with new styles, techniques, super moves, new card tiers, new game modes, an art refresh, collections, a War Games event, and much, much more. Supercard 7 from our friends over at 2K, available now. In fact, I'm playing it as we speak. You can't see it, but I am playing it.
Wow, you're playing it during our show?
As we speak.
See, I told you, Chad, he does nothing.
I can multitask. Thank you.
Can you?
Yes.
Kofi looks different because Kofi looks older. They made Kofi look older, I will say that, but they look really, really good. I can forgive that. I really can, because they just look sick. And last but certainly not least, it's been made official. The WWE Thunderdome will be leaving the Amway Center at the end of November to give way to the NFL, or I'm sorry, NBA. I'm watching the NFL and a fight almost broke out on the field. Boys, calm yourselves. Take a deep breath. It's okay. It's all right. You're fine. Get him off the field before he punches somebody. There you go. All right. Anyway, the Thunderdome is leaving the Amway Center. They are going to Tropicana Field. Their first show is scheduled for December 11th. I think in the meantime, they're going to the PC.
Maybe. We'll see. It depends on when they officially have to be out.
Yeah, I think their deal is officially up at the end of the month, but they might get like a week or two extension just to get out, because they have to pack everything up and move it over to Tropicana Field and set it up. So
we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens, but that's good news and cool news for them. And now, the plane prints.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
We have two really, really sad ones this week because they were both on their debuts. It just sucks. Chelsea Green debuted this past week on SmackDown and she suffered a broken wrist mid-match.
Hashtag blame Brent.
She was scheduled to win and be a part of Survivor Series and she was in line for a big push.
So hopefully she'll be in line for a big push when she gets back. Ruiz suffered a torn bicep in his debut of NXT last night.
Hashtag blame Brent.
And then last but certainly not least, Rhea Ripley just has a shredded ear after her match with Io Shirai last night. We're going to talk more about it here in a second in the NXT rundown, but they had to remove 5 earrings from her ear.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Yeah, it's just pretty shredded. She tweeted out that them cutting things,
bits
off her ear was interesting. Because that doesn't make you shiver. I don't know what does. And speaking of that, let's talk about NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Pretty solid NXT this week. Great main event.
Fantastic. Oh my god. That was like a pay-per-view quality main event. If you don't know what we're talking about, we're talking about Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley, in which Rhea Ripley's ear just got messed up. But yeah, this was
a great main event.
This was a perfect main event. It was takeover quality. They gave him about 30 minutes.
I love the finish. So they're battling on the outside. Rhea, you know how they do the whole 8, 9, 10 spot, and then Rhea got in a 10. Io was already up on the top rope and hit her directly with the moonsault as she rolled in. That was perfect.
It was great. It was a wonderful finish. And then after the match, you had Rhea and Io show each other respect and hug.
Which could mean many things, which we'll talk about in the next segment.
We will, but yeah, this was a beautiful, wonderful main event, and I would love to see it again, because yes. But it got top.
Let's start at the beginning of the show for a moment, shall we?
Okay. Yes.
It opened with Leon Ruff and Johnny Gargano for the NXT North American Championship.
And well, Mr. Priest decided that Leon Ruff's reign was just not going to end, so he came out and he apologized to Leon and gave him an old elbow to the face, and whoop, wouldn't you know it, DQ.
Sorry, kid.
Leon retained.
And Leon was not happy about it.
No, he was not happy about it. Johnny wasn't happy about it either. Johnny was like, wait, what? I just got screwed. William Regal was like, dude.
Regal was berating Priest backstage, and Leon Ruff comes up. You think I'm a joke? That's not what I meant. And then Leon told Regal that if he isn't able to defend the title, he shouldn't be champion. And Priest was apologizing. And then Leon said he's going to prove to Priest that he's not a joke, and then slapped Priest across the face. And Regal's like, serves you right.
He's like, I'm just going to stand here and let this happen and enjoy it.
Then, Priest was scheduled for a match. And I think what it was, Johnny came out and they started brawling. And then Leon Ruff came out. And then they all started fighting. And then he later tonight basically said, I'm going to take both of them on.
And then didn't he cost Damien a match?
No, the match never actually happened.
Okay. But yeah, but basically he pissed off Damien Priest.
Mm-hmm.
And Damien and Johnny are both standing there looking at him. And that is the moment Leon Ruff realized he done fucked up.
Yeah.
Because he had Damien on his side and Damien was helping him. And now, well, Damien's got those sights set on that title. And oh, man, Leon could be in some trouble.
So.
But this was good. I liked how this moved through the night.
Good long term story for the night. Yeah. We had Cameron Grimes and Dexter Lumis in a blindfold match. This was something.
What was this?
This was something.
I don't even know. It wasn't bad.
It was something.
Basically what happens is they put the blindfolds on each man and Dexter Lumis stands there like some psychotic, jacked, hooded psycho. And then then Grimes gets his blindfold put on and he starts beating the shit out of the ref. Knocks out the ref and then realizes what he's done. And he runs and he gets away from Dexter Lumis. And Lumis just stands there glaring through the chain link menacingly. Again, you've done messed up. Dexter will have his revenge.
Dexter will. We had Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell take on Kaden Carter and Casey Catanzaro. Quick little match that got Candice and Hartwell over.
Okay, this was good. I liked it.
It was a nice setup to get the pairing over. Arturo Ruiz took on Kushida. Kushida got the win. This is where Arturo Ruiz got hurt.
Yeah, unfortunately, which is really sad. Because I think he was in line for a big push, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was going to make a big debut or a big splash. And, well, not so much.
Not so much.
We had Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez take on Tony Storm and Ember Moon. This was good.
This was so good. This was so, so good. Boys. All right, everybody hug. Everybody go to your sides. I'm sorry, continue.
Tony and Ember ended up getting the win. Pretty good match.
I actually like the pairing of Tony and Ember a lot. Like, I really, really do. They fit very well together.
Candice and the Indy then ran out to take on Moon and Storm. Looks like Candice has some recruits on her side.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was announced on this show. On December 6th, live on the WWE Network, NXT TakeOver War Games.
Regal's just waiting for it. He's waiting for it on the women's side. He's just sitting there, tapping his fingers together menacingly, like, come on, do it!
So, we can break the news now. That live on December 6th, there will be no WTR Sunday night.
We're kicking them out of their spot again.
Kicking them out. They don't even know yet. They're kicked out. We're live at the Rock Extra Reviews, NXT TakeOver War Games on December 6th. You're welcome. You heard it here first. Before even Tim. You heard it here first. Anyway.
Sorry, Tim.
Not sorry, because anyway.
It's his decision.
It's my decision. Timothy Thatcher, August Gray. Quick little match. Timothy got the win.
This is good.
And then we got the moment everyone kind of wanted. Ciampa stares down Thatcher.
Oh, man. Yes.
Thatcher wanted none of it, though.
Thatcher wanted none of it, but we all want it. Timothy Thatcher versus Tommaso Ciampa. Yeah, buddy. Give it to me. Please give it to me and let it be physical and let them just mess each other up. Please.
We learned that next week, Wade Barrett will not be on the show.
Nope.
Kevin Owens will be in his place.
I feel like that's a suitable replacement.
Yeah. So, the big story for this night was the return of Finn Balor. And it took till about 10:02 for him to finally show up at the building and come to the ring. Right after the women's match. Io left, Finn arrives. He said he's now 3 plates in his jaw and said he's a bad son of a bitch. Out came Pat McAfee and his boys. He bragged about everything they've done and, well, demanded that Finn hand over his title. Finn said it's easy for the mice to run around when the cat is away, but the cat is back. And he said, look what the cat dragged in. Boom. Undisputed Era returns. They brawl to end the show. Good stuff. Good ending.
Very good ending. I like this quite a bit. This was a nice way to close out the show. We're going to get War Games with this. And honestly, Pete Dunne versus Finn Balor, sign me the fuck up.
Yeah, we're going to get that at some point. So, yeah, they're the faces now. Undisputed Era.
Which is fine, because they're eventually teasing the breakup. You had a nice long heel run, now you have a long, nice long face run going against McAfee's group. I think this is completely fine.
But I said we take a break.
Sounds good to me. So when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Survivor Series. We're going to be previewing the show, and I'm going to sit here and cry about the fact that my old man is retiring. In case you missed it, The Undertaker's final farewell is this Sunday. So you don't want to miss that. Listen to the Rack right here on WildTechRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City! Bitch.
From the big returns,
maybe I have one more ass kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're gonna put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/RackRadioShow. Every week, we jump into the world of
awesome
with the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs.
This one had to go out and buy all the toys. She lifted my foot up, stuffed it straight up my ass, and said, I don't care. Kid gets toys.
Yeah, check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. available weekly at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
What is the greatest of all time?
Saturday nights, we decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-Rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Greater Than Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night
event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight to Houston, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and you're listening to Rack Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Get a quick second if you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available. Well, you can just click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free for 30 days using your Prime Gaming sub. You can also subscribe the regular way and follow the channel. All you have to do is pick the little purple button down below. And if you're picking things, you can go to manscaped.com and you can pick out anything in their store. And if you use code WTRLIVE at checkout, well, you can get 20% plus free shipping. That's right, guys. The holidays are right around the corner. Black Friday is next week, traditionally. I don't know who all's doing it. Some people are, some people aren't. But anyway, it's next week. So if you want to save a little money for the holidays, go to manscaped.com and use code WTRLIVE there. You can also hit the balls command in chat if you are hanging out in our chat, and you can get the information there. And with that, I say we do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
I love how I have this like existential crisis every time we do this segment, because I never remember if I actually have tweets favorited or not. So it's always interesting when I go into my Twitter on the break and see if I have tweets or not. It really is, because sometimes I'm scrambling. I'm not going to lie. Anyway, Nick Merckx. I'm sorry, you want to say something?
No.
Okay. Nick Merckx. Bro, I miss playing Fortnite. Some of the best times I've ever had gaming, considering throwing it back into the rotation. Cypher PK. You know where to find me, baby. Cypher's wife, Mana She. I think that's how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
Should I leave or... I mean... Tim the Tat Man. Cowboys are my favorite team, hands down, but man, being from Syracuse, I love seeing the Bills do well. Tim, you should know better by now. Tim the Tat Man. If Buffalo loses, it's my fault. Tim the Tat Man. Holy shit. He then quote tweets the original tweet and goes, holy shit, Buffalo, I am so sorry. And Courage sums it up perfectly. Bro, you're terrible. Anytime Tim roots for a sports team, they lose.
Yeah.
Myth. I spent 5 hours today trying to fix my Minecraft audio. I feel like a big clown. Face Ewok, who is hearing impaired. Try 15 years. Myth. Bruh. LMAO. I love that he, like, makes jokes about being hearing impaired.
Yeah.
Like, Ewok just doesn't care. He's just like, whatever. Cypher PK. I need some positive vibes right now. His wife responds, I really got in my feelings with this one. I asked this dude why he's sad and how I could help. He said, I only got imposter twice. Goodbye. Dr. Lupo. It's a tough time in his life. Be supportive, geez. I mean, it's not a lie, but it's really, that's why you're sad? You will get imposter twice?
People get really sad when they don't get imposter.
Okay, that's all I have.
Milton T. Pike, 1. Holy fuck, Microsoft Edge is like that quote-unquote nice guy, pushy asshole who keeps insisting that he's meant to be with you and that any other browser you're talking to is just an asshole and that Microsoft Edge could change your mind if you just give him a chance. Fuck off already. Yeah.
You guys still have it installed?
No. So what happens, apparently when you do some updates and stuff, Windows updates. Hi, I'm Cliff. It automatically installs Microsoft Edge.
Rude.
Mm-hmm. Turnbuckle Media. So how many tables is Aleister Black going to go through now?
About as many as Lana.
Courage JD. Just sitting here thinking about how easily I could beat Tim Tapman's ass in a fight. Lamau, it wouldn't even be close. Dr. Lupo. Jack, I love you, but Tim would destroy you. Dad stream. Sorry. MMA Fighter Max Holiday? Bruh, let's get this on the pay-per-view. So, Trump tweeted...
Oh, dear.
...that he won the election. Myth tweeted, I won a Fortnite tournament. Ninja tweeted, everyone floss with me on New Year's. Catch a theme? Courage JD. Let's go with Laserbeam first. Laserbeam. I'm good at Fortnite. Official sources stated that this is false and misleading. And finally, Courage JD, skill-based matchmaking is the greatest thing in the history of gaming. Official sources say that this is false and misleading. Tweet of the week.
Alrighty. That's all the politics we're doing on this show, by the way. Now.
For more, follow at Wild Talk Radio. If you aren't, you should.
Please send all complaints to Flames Forums at Flames Forums. Just send them there. Alright, let's talk about it. Survivor Series is this Sunday on the WWE Network. It will be the capstone of a month-long celebration of 30 years of The Undertaker, which includes his final farewell to us as a whole. However, I'm sure he will still be hanging around in some capacity since he's like under contract for the rest of his life kind of thing. We're going to kind of save that for last, I think. We'll talk about The Undertaker last to close out the show because I just kind of want to...
That's fine. Whatever you want.
Get everything out of the way. Plus, I think we're going to go on that one the longest. And no, we are not going an hour and a half on just The Undertaker. If we do, that's going to go to a really weird place. And odds are that would be the thing he hears of me discussing him is just all the weird shit. Don't need that in my life. Not that Mark Calloway would ever hear this, but on the off chance he Googles himself at night.
I mean, everyone... Wait, never mind.
Actually, I would love to know if he Googles himself. I really would. I would also love to know if he's aware of fan fiction. Anyway.
Yes and yes. Probably.
Probably, yeah.
He's on the Instagram.
I mean, he is, but like I said, I'm just curious if he knows about fan fiction and if he's read it.
All right. We'll save Undertaker for later. Let's go to the pay-per-view.
All right.
Pick where you want to start.
Not with the elimination matches. All right. I'm going to start. All right. Let's start with versus champion, because all the remaining matches outside of the elimination matches are champ versus champ. We're going to start with Lashley versus Sami Zayn. All these are non-title, by the way. All of these do not have stipulations, by the way, which is interesting.
They never do. They're just straight up matches.
They could just, you know, make it fun.
Yeah, fun. Lol.
Chairs and whatnots.
Nah, that's next month. With tables, ladders, and chairs, am I?
Ding.
All right. Lashley and Sami Zayn, they're kind of champion, U.S. champion, battling back and forth. They've gone out on Twitter, and Sami tried to, you know, talk smack, and, well, you know how that goes with Sami. Sami Zayn is the better wrestler, 100%. Sami Zayn is the more talented entertainer, 100%. The winner of this match was probably going to be Bobby Lashley. Just because he's the bigger, stronger man, and Raw kind of needs a win on this show, and I think this would be a good Raw win.
I feel like Sammy's the better, like you said, the better entertainer, the better performer, but the Hurt Business has been on somewhat of a role here over the last few months. They've been working hard to push them, even though they sort of like backed off of that a little bit. I feel like in some capacity they are going to be playing a part in this simply because they really don't have anywhere else to go on the show unless they interfere in one of the elimination matches, which it would be the men's. So I can see, or in the tag match, that's the other place they could show up, but I could see the Hurt Business helping Lashley get a victory over Sami Zayn by distracting Zayn. Because Zayn's clever enough and crafty enough that he probably could outsmart Bobby Lashley to a certain degree.
100% he can come up. We've seen it on SmackDown. He tied a guy up in a rope and with a ring. He's handcuffed people's ears. He's done all the slimy things you can think of to possibly get the win. And he could possibly, you know, sneak out a win in this one. He could. He could sneak some sort of win. Like a backfire. MVP tries to interfere. Sami Zayn stops it. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know.
I feel like Bobby Lashley gets the win here just because they don't have him lose a lot. In fact, I don't think he's necessarily lost.
He doesn't lose a bunch.
He hasn't lost in a while. So, and they have to give Raw a certain amount of wins to balance, and I feel like as much as I love Sami Zayn, as much as I think he's a wonderful performer, I feel like they're going to give the win to Bobby Lashley here just because they can. It's not for any other reason other than they can. So they're going to.
Yeah, I think so. I think you can make the argument for Sami, but I think Sami's promo skills lend to him rebounding quicker than the Hurt Business losing a match.
Yeah. Sami could lose this and he's back on SmackDown, no problems.
No problems.
No muss, no fuss. He will recover much quicker than Bobby Lashley will, just because Bobby Lashley does not have the mic skills that Sami has. He also doesn't necessarily have the same luster around him that Sami has. And honestly, it makes sense with the push that they're giving the Hurt Business that Bobby Lashley would get the win.
All right, I'm going Lashley. You're going Lashley. Hey, 8-Ball, does Lashley beat Sami on Sunday? Yes, definitely. Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 2.
Pick Sami Zayn.
So
3-1. On that.
Interesting.
One. All right, next.
Up next, the match that I'm personally really excited for. The New Day versus the Street Shop Profits. Champion versus champion. I feel like there's going to be a metric fuck ton of shenanigans in this. I would not be the least bit surprised if Big E plays some kind of factor in this, because he's not on any of the men's teams unless he's the TBT for SmackDown.
Which he could be,
but
there'll still probably be some sort of New Day reunion, whether it's at ringside or backstage. We will see a New Day reunion on the show, I'm assuming. Maybe he'll just do the intro with him. Who knows? You've had the Street Profits sort of poke at Big E on SmackDown the last couple weeks. They brought him food in shapes of L's this past Friday on SmackDown, so it's like, they're trying to joke. New Day's been joking, but when Big E got serious on them, that kind of sent a message to the Street Profits, like, went, this is not just going to be fun and games. This is going to be serious. This is the real deal. This is when it comes to...
You got a fight on your hands.
And when it comes to dream matches in WWE right now in terms of tag teams, this is one of them. This is one where it's must-see, because you have the staples of the division in New Day, and then you have what should be the staples of the division, the Street Profits, going forward. You have a lot of interesting aspects. Now, in terms of the quality of the match, it's going to be interesting. Be interesting to see how Kofi and Woods sort of take it to Montez, because Dawkins is usually the power guy and does the hot tags. Montez usually takes the beating for a while and then makes a big comeback of his own. It's like, with both guys, and both sides are playing play baby face, so it's like, it's going to lead to some interesting situations, I guess. It'd be weirder if there was a full crowd, because the crowd would probably be split a little bit, but at the same time, it's stylistically, I assume New Day works heel.
Yeah, I think so. But not by much. I think
they're not going to cheat or anything, but it's like,
no,
they're going to work the heel style of the match.
Especially with E being there and possibly being a factor, I can see him sort of helping his boys, even though he's on Team SmackDown. I can see him helping his boys out a little bit, helping them cheat a little bit, because it's going to essentially be 3-on-2. And yeah, just, you know, helping them put up the fight against Street Profits. Because at the end of the day, it's not Raw versus SmackDown for New Day. It's New Day versus whoever. Because they're just that tight. Now, the other side of it is Big E turns.
I don't expect Big E to turn.
Yeah, no, I don't expect that either. But that's entirely a possibility as well. That being said, oh god, I don't know who wins this because that's hard. I don't know.
Going by numbers and how the card breaks down, to me, this one's a SmackDown match. I think SmackDown gets this win because if New Day wins, it's like, okay, New Day wins, ha ha ha, they're a long-standing tag team. A New Day loss means when they go to a rematch, New Day has now, okay, the young kids got us. Now what?
Yeah, how do we regroup from this?
Say they meet 6-8 months down the line. Now you have a reason for New Day to take the Street Profits seriously if they get the win. And I think, just based on everything, I think the Street Profits need this win more than New Day needs to win over Street Profits. Because if New Day beats them, it's like, alright, no more threats. But if a win goes to the Street Profits, goes, alright, the kids are a threat. Somewhere, someway, someday down the line, they're a threat. So I'm going Street Profits on this one.
Yeah, also I think getting a win over the New Day will help elevate the Street Profits even further. Not that they necessarily really need it, but it just gives them a little boost. As they move over to SmackDown, I would say I'm okay with Street Profits winning this one. I mean, either outcome is fine, but I think New Day kind of cheats to win, and it doesn't do anything. And what that does is that sets stuff up for E, because it's like, oh, well, you're supposed to be Team SmackDown, and you helped Raw, WTF. And where does that go for E? So yeah, I'll go Street Profits.
All right, I go Street Profits, you go Street Profits. Hey, 8-Ball, will the New Day beat the Street Profits? I look not so good, so they're going Street Profits, the 8-Ball. Hey, Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 1.
New Day.
All right, Wheel is being contrary tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, we have the women in a champion versus champion match where Asuka is taking on Sasha Banks. And the winner of this is everybody, because this is going to be good as hell.
SummerSlam rematch. Which Asuka got the win at SummerSlam in a good match. Sasha just successfully defended the title against Bayley a couple weeks ago on SmackDown. And then we had a new challenger come into play by the name of Carmella and all her red leather.
Hey, or you pleather. Know, when you gotta be at work at 8, but you gotta be the sex dungeon by 9, you make it work.
I don't know if it's leather or pleather, but it's really shiny.
I think it's PVC, actually. It's either latex or it's like PVC or something.
Either way, it's very shiny.
Yes.
And red.
Yes.
The reason I bring up Carmella, she could play a factor in this matchup. She could cost Sasha the match.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing more that Sasha wants right now is to continue to be the boss. To be the blueprint, the standard. And getting her win back over Asuka would mean a lot to Sasha right now. Especially since she's on the rise and Asuka's sort of leveled.
Yeah, she's plateaued.
She's plateaued right now. So a win for Sasha would keep her rise going. A loss would kind of take her back down. But if Carmella helped, it would level off. I don't think Asuka needs this win. It's sort of what I'm getting at. Because right now Asuka's, again, plateaued. She's leveled off. There's really nothing for her at the moment. I think a Sasha win keeps her strong because she has challengers in the making and continues with Bayley, even though they're kind of moving on a little bit. You have Bianca and you have Carmella right currently. So Sasha's champion, she's rising, and yeah, this one's going to be good. Wouldn't be surprised me if Asuka got the win, but my money would be on Sasha on this one because it feels right.
I feel like this one will have shenanigans either from Carmella or from Bayley messing with Sasha. Asuka is pretty free and clear in terms of competitors on Raw right now. Nobody's really going to mess with her. Nobody's really trying to screw her over to get her attention. Because it's fairly easy to get Asuka's attention. You know, you walk up to her, you want to fight? Sure. That's kind of how Asuka is on Raw. So it's not like you have to necessarily argue with her to get a championship match. Sasha's the same way, but at the same time, Sasha, it's like, I want to get your attention. I want to slap you across the face. I want to be the one that just, like, absolutely owns your ass. Right? That's how people are with her, because it's like, that's how she is with people. This is my title, this is my spot, and you're not going to take it from me. I feel like either I agree with Carmella, or I would say Bayley, if they're going to continue that, which I don't think they are, cost Sasha this match. Because you have to give something to Raw. And also, between the two, Asuka, I would go with Asuka in terms of just getting the win, because Sasha can always get that back. You can always build that feud of Asuka's kind of that person for Sasha that she just can't necessarily get the win on. Like, they all have that one person, that one arch nemesis that's like, no matter what they do, they can't get that win. Like, for Bayley, it's Sasha. For Sasha, it's Asuka. And you have Sasha kind of, because you could build Asuka versus Sasha for Mania, for SummerSlam, for Survivor Series next year, for any pay-per-view that you want for her to get that win back. But I'm going to say here, Asuka gets the win.
All right, so you're going Asuka, I'm going Sasha. Magic 8-Ball, does Asuka beat Sasha? 8-Ball is going with you on Asuka. Magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 1.
Sticks with Asuka.
All right.
All right. We'll see.
And rounding out the singles matches, the non-group matches, will be champion versus champion. This match annoys me. Drew McIntyre taking on Roman Reigns. And let me tell you why.
Tell me something.
I wanted it to be Orton, because here's the thing. Roman Reigns beats Randy Orton. One, that's a big deal. But two, Randy can take the loss, and Randy can make up for it, and it's not that big of a deal if Randy loses, right? Because he's that established, even as the champion of Raw, that Randy will walk out on a Monday night after it happens. He'll shrug, he'll brush it off his shoulder, and he'll move on with his life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we thought that's where this was going until Monday night, this past week, when they decided to put the title back on Drew McIntyre, the week before Survivor Series, where he's going to be facing Roman Reigns in a champion versus champion match. I feel like I know what they're going to do, and I don't necessarily agree with what they're going to do, because I feel like it's going to be do more damage to Drew than what is entirely necessary.
And what's that?
You're going to have Roman beat Drew. And it's going to be, and please God, if there is one, in his mercy, or her mercy, no judgment, please don't let it be this long, slow plotting where the acting in the theater of it carries the match versus the actual physicality. Don't get me wrong, I love storytelling, I love acting, I love theatrics, I love everything about that. I don't want to have to sit to watch a match twice because I lost interest in it halfway through it because there's nothing going on in it. That's my whole thing on it. Like, the Uso stuff is like the one time it's like, okay, all right. The second time it's like, oh god, no. Especially when it was in Hell in the Cell. I'm going to be honest. I did not enjoy either match. I thought they were good from a theatrical standpoint. I did not like them from a wrestling standpoint. I do not want to see that with Drew and Roman. Just because I feel like that emotional connection is not there. I fully would hope that Roman would just go out there and beat the shit out of Drew. But I don't think that's going to happen.
So, uh-oh. What?
Seattle's got another injury.
Okay. So, she made the argument for Roman. Let's make the one for Drew. There is a good chance Drew McIntyre can beat Roman Reigns in this match. Drew McIntyre is the big babyface that WWE loves to push right now. He's their top guy. He's the number two, because Roman is clearly number one. Roman Reigns has been untouchable as the tribal chief, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if the tribal chief stumbles? What if the tribal chief doesn't get the win that he believes he rightfully deserves? And what if his loyal subject accidentally cost him that match? What if Jey Uso cost Roman Reigns the match by accident? Kind of whooping is Roman gonna put on his boy then?
Hopefully none, because I really don't want to see any more of that.
But I mean,
I'm gonna be completely honest.
I don't want to see it again. No, I'm saying put a whooping. Not a match, put a whooping in a segment. Just whoop his ass. Not a match. A segment on SmackDown. Whoop his ass. Berate him, whoop his ass.
I feel like at that point that makes Roman look like an abusive asshole.
Well, yeah. But that could be.
But not in a good way, if there is such a thing. And not to say that that's a good thing at all. It's not. It's completely not. But there's a way that you can portray that character in wrestling, and it works. Sadly, I don't feel like it would work here.
It might not. But what if? It's a what if.
Okay, we're going.
Just go in that direction. If it could happen, who knows? Maybe. But if you need to make the argument for Drew, Drew could get the help from Jey to beat Roman. That's the only way I see Roman losing, is because of Jey.
The way I could see Roman losing is Drew just goes out there and gives Roman a run for his money, and he hits the Claymore kick, and he, like, it takes like two or three, but he hits that Claymore kick the final time, and he puts Roman down 1-2-3. And the difference is that Jey doesn't do anything. Jey stands there with Heyman and does nothing.
That could happen too.
You know, because sometimes the best action that you can do is to do nothing, and it's to prove to Roman, that he's mortal after all, and that you're not as badass as you think you are, because this is the first, I'm going to say legit challenger, not that Ron and Bray weren't. But that was always set up.
It was nothing. There was nothing there. There's no substance.
It was always set up for Roman to win that title, so it doesn't really count. This is the first opponent of substance for Roman to face as a champion since winning the title back, and it's the Raw Men's Champion. Drew should absolutely give Roman a run for his money. He should give him a fight. And I think Drew will hopefully provoke Roman into a fight, because there's no reason for Roman to try to extract that love and adoration and approval from Drew. He doesn't need to. He wanted it from Jay. He doesn't need to take it from Drew, because Drew's not going to give it to him. Even at the end of the match, he's not going to be, "You're my tribal chief. I love you, Roman, so much." It's not going to happen.
No.
So you can have the tribal chief versus the Scottish clansman, or the king of the Scots, or whatever you want to call Drew.
But by the way, can we talk about Drew for a second?
Hmm.
And go back to Monday Night for a moment.
Hmm.
Where he came out with the sword.
The kilt and the sword.
The kilt and the sword.
Yes!
That was Vince McMahon's sword.
Of course it was.
Hunter and Steph got it for him as a gift. They went when they were in Scotland. They got it for him as a gift. And the story goes, they're all talking, and they go, "We need a sword." And Vince goes, "I have a sword." So he brings the sword to the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Drew's walking around with the sword, practicing the entrance. And Hunter walks up. "Hey, nice sword. Is that the one? That looks like the one I got Vince." Drew's like, "Yeah, it is."
Oh my God. Hunter's like, "Oh.
Okay.
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 It's his sword. He can do what he wants with it." Honestly, I'm surprised Drew doesn't have one at home. Because didn't he have one in, like, NXT or at Impact?
No, I don't think he did.
Because I don't think that was a Claymore. Might have been.
Either way. Anyway, who you got in this match?
I'm honestly going with Roman. I feel like he still needs to be established as a dominant figure. Drew can take a loss. Drew can kind of brush it off if he needs to. I don't think he will brush it off with the same ease as Randy would, but I feel like here Roman's going to get the win.
I'm going Drew just to be different. Also, I can see the Jay costing him a bit, so I'm going Drew. 8-ball, will Roman Reigns be Drew McIntyre? You may rely on it, so there you go on that one. And Magical Wheel of Fun, who you got?
Wrestler 2.
That's Roman Reigns. All right, what's next?
All right, so up next we have the Women's Survivor Series Elimination Match as Team Raw, which is Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Lacey Evans, Peyton Royce, and Lana, take on Team SmackDown, which is Bianca Belair, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and two members, TBD. I'm assuming they're going to name them tomorrow on SmackDown. I would hope they name them tomorrow on SmackDown and they don't wait for Sunday unless they're planning a surprise.
You gotta love TBDs, by the way.
Leads to all sorts of speculation.
Let's speculate on one, shall we?
Okay.
So we watched NXT last night, and Rhea Ripley lost clean. She would look good in SmackDown Blue.
I don't want her to go to SmackDown Blue because she will get lost.
Oh yeah, totally.
They will not do what they need to do with her. That's my I can see her going up and being a part of SmackDown, and that's fine, but she needs to stay in NXT. And I hate saying that because she's so ridiculously talented, but I just feel like with the way that they're using their women right now, she would just get lost.
Quite possibly. That said, might not be her. But then you look at the roster going, who else they got? Who does SmackDown have in terms of women that are on this team?
Well, they have Billie Kay.
They have Billie Kay, but she lost a qualifying match, so I don't know if they're going to go back to it, but putting her on the team would lead to a Billie Kay, Peyton Royce moment at the show.
Yeah, Bailey.
I assume Bailey's going into the match.
You have Carmella.
And I think she may be the other one. Beyond that, you don't have... Natty's lost 3 times already to qualify. So unless she finds a way onto it.
The only reason I could see you do it is you have Natty versus Lana.
I mean, you could. But Natty's lost 3 qualifying matches. How many qualifying matches can she lose before, you know...
You know the points are made up and the rules don't matter. You know that.
Oh, I know. But I expect Bailey to be one and Carmella probably be the other because it'd make the most sense because they're the ones they're pushing.
Unless you do like Tamina and then you have Tamina and Nia.
Tamina lost a qualifier, so again.
Mickey, although I think she's hurt, isn't she? No, she's good.
Mickey, she's hurt. She broke her nose.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I thought she was hurt, but I couldn't remember. I mean, honestly, I feel like the strongest candidates are Bailey and Carmella, unless you have someone like Billie Kay force her way into the match.
That said, SmackDown doesn't need anyone else. Let's be real. Bianca, Ruby, and Liv, that's enough to take out Raw.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, the threats on Raw, no offense to Team Raw, are Shayna and Nia. They're the two biggest threats on that team. Peyton's a very close third, but Lacey and Lana are going to be kind of a wash. They're just there to help lift everybody else up, although I could very much see them doing like a Soul Survivor situation where Lana's like the last member of Team Raw standing.
I joked about this, and everyone likes my theory. I hate that. I hate my joke is becoming truthful.
Well, no, what I was going to say is she becomes the last Soul Survivor for Team Raw, and then she gets beaten by SmackDown. Like, you know, either Ruby or Bianca or Liv or one of the TBDs pin Lana. And what would be apropos if it's Natty, and Natty pins Lana to win the match?
It would be, but
I mean, they're setting Lana up for something. She has the documentary coming out
the night before.
The night before, but Liv also has a documentary on her coming out
the week after.
So I can see SmackDown winning, and they do something special with Liv because she has the documentary coming to really add a little shine to her, and you have SmackDown win this match.
You know who's getting the shine?
Hmm.
The EST of WWE.
You know, if they want to put all the shine in the world on the EST of WWE and they eventually put her with Sasha Banks and those two have a hell of a feud, I would be on board for that.
Lana will be put through another table. Then Nia gets eliminated. Lana will survive for her team probably towards the end, one would assume. Or, and this is WWE booking, she's out first in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And kills any chance of a story. But I got this as a showcase for Bianca. Bianca beating Nia, Bianca beating Shayna, supplants Bianca as a star.
Yeah,
because
I would agree with that.
Survivor Series is known for making breakout stars. I mean, Randy Orton's been the king of Survivor Series in the elimination matches. Bianca, with a win here, puts her on the path to then go into the Rumble, winning the Rumble, and then going on to fight for the Women's Championship.
And have her face Sasha.
Yeah. That's where we're headed. So I'm going Team SmackDown in this one just because I like Pan. She's great. But they're not pushing her. Shayna and I, yeah, they get along, but they're going to screw up and they're going to cross themselves this match and lead to more dissension between the two. I'm going Team SmackDown.
Yeah, I got to agree. I think SmackDown gets the win here.
Hey, Magic 8-Ball, does Team Raw beat SmackDown for the women? Don't count on it. Okay. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 2.
That's SmackDown.
All right. And you have the Men's Survivor Series elimination match where you have Team Raw, aka Team Hug, AJ Styles, Keith Lee, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, and Riddle in their get-along shirts, taking on Team SmackDown, which is Kevin Owens, Jey Uso, King Corbin, Seth Rollins, and a TBD.
Probably Big E.
Probably. This is a little bit harder to pick. Because honestly, Team Raw is the stronger team by far in terms of star power.
Easy. Well, star power kind of, but also they've been actually doing a story with the team. Jay's just been taking out his team, took out Kevin Owens. Seth Rollins is feuding with Murphy because, by the way, Murphy got the A-OK from Ray. He's in the family now. He may even become Buddy again.
Well, he's Aaliyah's buddy for sure.
Oh, I don't know. This one doesn't interest me that much.
Yeah, I'm gonna be with Rog on this. It really doesn't do a lot for me. I really want to say Raw just because in terms of the story that they're telling with it, the Raw story is so much stronger and you can do more with the Raw story out of this. Plus, if Rock's theory comes true and Jay costs Roman the match, I could easily see Roman beating the shit out of Jay backstage. And that takes him out of the Survivor Series team, and now they're down two, and they have to find two people to wrestle, which means you could potentially throw Dominic in there for some tension, and then somebody else. Big E, probably.
So, let's break down. Kevin Owens is Kevin Owens. He's established, but I don't see... a win here doesn't do anything for him. Jey Uso, a big Survivor Series win. Yeah, cool, they're continuing the push, but it's like, eh. Corbin, meh. Seth Rollins? He's on his way out.
Yeah, he's getting ready to go out for a little bit of a break.
Yeah, he's whether this is his last show or his last show is in a few weeks, he's on father duty here in a few weeks.
Yeah, by the way, Becky, the pregnancy photos, honey, they were gorgeous. Good Lord. Seth, you look nice too. But Becky, damn girl, just damn.
So the argument can be made that this is an easy Raw win. That said, Raw doesn't seem to get along all that well. They also lost to Retribution on Monday. You know, can't beat Retribution, who's been beaten by everybody. Makes you wonder. hopefully their team captain, AJ Styles, can get them on the same page. They're more high on guys like Keith Lee and Riddle and AJ and Sherman and Sheamus, whatever. But Riddle and Lee are the people they're high on right now. I go Raw gets this one just because they're more of the team, as it were. What about you?
Like I said, I want to give it to Raw just because they are the stronger two in terms of the team. But it all depends on what they do for the TBD and who else they slot in there. Because like I said, they could easily replace people and you change the dynamic of the match. But at the same time, everybody on Raw could walk away from AJ and leave AJ hanging. And now all of a sudden SmackDown has a win.
All right. I'll give you that argument. If TBD is Big E, SmackDown could easily get this win because it would be Big E's big solo victory.
Yeah. And that's where I was going with this was, I think this is going to be SmackDown's night. I think this is going to be SmackDown's show. Typically, I think they like to balance it where one gets one match and one gets the other. But I think in this case, SmackDown is going to take both just because there's the potential for SmackDown to be stronger and have a better showing, especially since they're trying to, I think, re-elevate SmackDown again. So I would say in this case, Team SmackDown wins. Especially given what we're getting ready to talk about.
You know, I convinced myself with the Big E argument. I'm switching back to SmackDown. I'm going to SmackDown, you're going to SmackDown. 8-Ball, does Team SmackDown beat Team Raw? Outlook not so good. So it's going Raw. Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 2.
Go SmackDown.
All right,
that's it. We're done.
That's it. We're done. Bye, guys. No, wait. We have to talk about it. Because we've been talking about it all month. And that is that after 30 years... in WWE, and one hell of a cinematic match this year, as well as many other fine quality matches, which you can check out on WWE.com or WWE's Twitter, which, by the way, WWE, I do not appreciate you teasing me with certain things that we are getting ready to discuss. The Undertaker, aka Mr. Calloway, is, in theory, TBD, retiring.
He says 100%.
I don't believe a thing that comes out of that man's mouth.
Because Vince McMahon... Vince McMahon won't let him say, you know, retired.
Here's my thing. We all watched The Last Ride. We've all seen him try to do it 3 times and it hasn't taken. I think it's something that Mark wants out. Mark gets out and they either call him with something or he sees something he doesn't like because he is beyond a perfectionist. And he has to come back and he has to correct the mistake, very similar to the Roman situation where he had to come back the year after Roman and correct and make sure that he could actually work. But I think he is content with the match with AJ. I think he is content with his position in the company, in his life. I think all the stars are aligned. And I think even he recognizes that, because I think he said it in multiple interviews, that his body is just done. It can't take anymore. He can't do anymore. I think he actually said he's used up every physical gift he had.
He cannot come out and be the Undertaker he wants to be. He physically cannot do it any longer, which is why he's done. He's realizing that it's his time is up, it's someone else's time. His mind is 100% still in. He says he has trouble watching wrestling right now, WWE right now. Wonder why?
Because he wants to be out there. He wants to do it.
No, because he's sitting there critiquing it and going, why would you do this? You should be doing this. And he starts yelling at the television.
Oh my God, he's turning into the internet.
Yes, he's sitting there yelling at the television. So legit, that was his quote. He sits there and yells at the television. He's an old man he's an old man yelling at the television.
I want this now. Oh my God. Michelle, start a Twitch and just turn on the camera.
Mark,
millions.
Mark watches wrestling.
Mark, old man, yells at wrestling.
Trending worldwide.
Taker talk. Anyway, yeah. And that's why we say maybe, just because, again, you never say never with Taker, right? There could be one more. I think they're doing it now because, one, it's his 30th anniversary, and two, I believe there is a realization that there is not a... COVID is a thing. COVID will be a thing in 2021, as much as we don't want it to be. And there is a very real possibility.
Hold on. I'm going to cut you off for a second.
No, let me finish. There's a very real possibility that there could not be fans at WrestleMania again this year. I'm not saying it's a certainty, because it all depends on where we're at come March or April. That's a long way off. But it's still a possibility. So I think for him, I think for Vince, I think for everybody, it's sort of a now or never thing.
I have a point.
Okay.
I have a quote, I should say.
Okay.
I can to a certain degree, he responded, but a lot of times I catch myself talking to the TV like they can hear me. It's hard to be just a straight fan because I want everyone to succeed and to develop into their potential. So I'm kind of like, oh man, don't do that. It didn't make sense. Don't do that. Why would you do that? You would actually laugh if there was a camera watching me watch wrestling. I have these conversations and it's pretty amusing, I'm sure.
I feel like he and I need to watch wrestling. Although he would look at me like I'm insane because yeah. I don't yell out, why would you do that? I'm like, honey, no! Honey, no.
Oh, honey, no.
Oh, honey. Anyway, yeah, I more make fun of it. He's actually, like, serious about it, but I more make fun of it.
So, anyway, where were I?
So, yeah, so, but still, set up the camera, Michelle. You'll make millions. I think it's an hour and everything for him. I think he's made the decision. I think he's ready. I think they're not going to pull the lever, break in case of emergency kind of thing.
I mean,
and before
could.
He changes his mind.
Never say never. They could break the lever.
They could break the lever. But before Mark Calaway changes his mind and decides he wants to do one more, they're pulling the trigger and they're going to let him retire. That's so they've given him a beautiful send off this month. We've gotten so much Undertaker content. I'm so happy. Y'all don't even know, after like years and years and years and years and years and years and literal years where I only get him once or twice a year, I'm getting him like a whole month of him where there's interviews and there's specials and there's just content everywhere of The Undertaker. It's just amazing and I'm so happy. And I had this realization that we aren't necessarily saying goodbye to The Undertaker, although we are.
Well, we are saying goodbye to The Undertaker.
Yes, but we are also, this was a wonderful way to introduce the fans and the world in general to Mark Calaway, who is the person behind The Undertaker that we don't really know. We know he's there, and he's always been this very mysterious entity to us. And I think in a lot of ways, I don't want to say Taker was afraid to put himself out there, but I think he was sort of like hesitant to do it just because I feel like maybe he didn't think people would like what they saw.
No, it's not even that. He protected the character, especially for a good period of the character, where he had to get it over a certain way. And by getting it over a certain way, you don't talk about things. You don't go and do appearances, and you don't do the movie roles, and you don't do everything like that, because wrestling was number one.
Oh, yeah, always. But I think later on... No, I'm not talking about in the earlier part of his career. I'm talking about later on.
I'm still saying later on, when he returned to The Undertaker, he's protective of... that.
Fine. He's protective of it. Anyway.
No, he is. As American Badass, we all saw he was willing to go out on Jimmy Kimmel and you know, do stupid stuff.
He did a pillow fight, guys. It was amazing.
So it's like, when he's that, when he's more Mark, he's willing to be it. But when he's Mr. Gong?
Is that what we're calling him now?
I don't know. Mr. Deadman? He's more protective of it. If we did this a year ago, I don't think he would come out in character like, break the character like he has. But because he made it a thing on television, where he made the hybrid Taker, he's more comfortable showing who he is. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. But anyway, back to what I was saying. We're getting to meet Mark. We're getting to see Mark, the true Mark, the non-Taker Mark, for the first time, really. Because I think even when he was on Kimmel and even when he was doing the American Badass, it was still a protected version.
It was WWE first, everything else second.
And with this, what is very apparent and what we're seeing in the interviews and the specials, although some of them he's more Taker Mark and some of them he's just Mark, is this gigantic ass teddy bear of a man that you just want to hug because he's adorable and he's the world's biggest dork and I love him so much. I'm going to miss him and I hope we get to see more of Mark. I love Taker. Don't get me wrong. Taker's cool, but I like Mark. I think Mark's cool. I think he's really cool. And he's kind of a nerd, and I love it. Him and his chicken wings. Yeah, we're saying goodbye $1,000 a pop. Kind of. Yeah, a little bit. That being said, they're going to send him off. I would expect the whole family to be there, or as many of the children as he can get together. The wife will be there. They are bringing friends, family in for this. Kane will be there.
Yeah, I want to bring up a point. So he was, you brought up the chicken wing thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was telling a story about his mother, about when she comes to the wrestling shows. She makes it clear who she doesn't like. And went back in Dallas when Shane busted Taker open. She cut a promo on Shane like no one's business. You hurt my baby boy.
That's her son, man. That's her youngest.
So that all ties in. I expect her to be there too, if she's able to travel.
If she's able to travel, I think she's close to 100 and just given COVID.
Oh yeah, if she's able to.
If she's able to, I would fully expect her to be there, because I think they had her at one of the Manias.
Dallas.
I think the one with Roman.
No, she was at Dallas, I think.
She was at Dallas. Yeah, I would expect her to be there, but if not, I would expect the wife. I shouldn't say the wife, Michelle, and his children, as many of them that want to go.
You mean the wife and the kid on the People magazine?
Yeah, and the other kids that he has that are not on the People magazine. Because he has three other children.
He has three other children.
One on People magazine.
God, that was so weird that he's on People magazine tomorrow.
That's
Holy
so strange.
Crap. It was like, oh my God.
It's awesome.
It's awesome, but at the same time, it's so weird because it's trying to show Mark at home and him, you know, playing with his kid and
him in the kitchen cooking, which is just like, what does he cook? I want to know now. Wait, what does he make? Is he a good cook? Like, does he enjoy cooking? That's the thing. It's like, it's raising this whole other host of questions. And I brought up fan fiction, right?
Uh huh.
And my curiosity about The Undertaker and whether he is aware of fan fiction, because I think he is very clearly aware of all the stupidity that we've gotten up to over the years on the internet. He's just never been able to comment on it before till now. And it's very interesting to me, especially recalling specific writers, how many people actually got him right and how right they got him. It's kind of scary how right some people got Mark Calloway. It's like, God damn, y'all psychic? You know him or something? Like, shit. But yeah, it's raising a whole other, like, this is so cool to see that we're actually getting the mask lifted, if you will, and we're seeing the man behind the character, but it's so fucking bizarre.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, wait, what? Like, I like it. It's good that it's happening at the end, but it's like, what? What? Like, it's hard to see him, because I don't know why, but the Undertaker, I just picture that the Undertaker constantly tools around in the hat and the coat. Like, everywhere he goes, he's in the hat and the coat, even though I know that's not the case at all, but that's just how I picture The Undertaker, and just tooling around in life in the hat and the coat and the whole gear thing. Like, he sleeps in it, he has his little sleep hat and everything. So it's just really bizarre that, you know, you see Mark and he's tooling around in his gym shorts and his tank top and his beanie. And this now makes me wonder if he sleeps in the beanie. But yeah, it's just, this has been so interesting. It's been so fun to watch. I'm going to be really sad come the first of next month when we don't get any more Undertaker stuff and he's just gone and there's just this void left in our lives. Although, if I think what's going to happen happens, I don't think there's going to be that much of a void.
All right, before we get to your theories, all right, let's talk about Sunday.
And how I'm going to cry.
Yeah, it's gonna be sad Sunday, because it really is going to be the farewell. We're going to get a video tribute of some kind that's going to probably pull at the heartstrings. We're going to get a lot of surprise appearances from his friends.
Yeah, like I was saying, Kane's expected to be there. I think Savio Vega and The Godfather are expected to be there. Uh-huh. Has anybody heard anything on Dennis Knight? Does anybody know if he's going
to
be there?
What is Dennis Knight up to these days?
I think he's a professional chef, isn't he?
Is he?
I thought he was. I thought he was like a chef.
He may or may not be there, whether they put him on television. Who knows? I don't know if even Savio Vega is going to make television. I think he's just going to be there. Kane's going to be there, as mentioned.
He'll make TV.
I would assume Sean makes television in some fashion. Hunter, maybe. Whether they're there or they're doing something, I have a feeling like this could be what the Hall of Fame moment should be for him, but it's not the Hall of Fame moment. I really want to roast The Undertaker. That's kind of what I want.
That should just be his Hall of Fame moment, is they roast him. I picture kind of like they close out the show, that the very end of the show is his wife and his children and any of his other family that come in the front, and Vince is with Michelle. And it's like Vince, Michelle, and Hunter and Steph, and then the kids. And they're in the front. Then behind them.
So Vince and Taker's two wives.
Taker's two wives. All three wives are present. And behind them, the roster comes out. And that's when you see, like, Kane and Savio Vega and the Godfather. And they all come out and they all do the round of applause and the standing ovation for him. And then you just cut the screen to black. That's how I'm picturing that's going to go. Because I feel like they have to save something for the Hall of Fame. when he goes in, because even though he's not going in this year, unless they just make a special exception, and they're, because the rumor is that the WrestleMania Hall of Fame class from last year is going to be the class for this year, but because Taker is retiring, plans may alter slightly, and they may put him in as the headliner.
You wait. Here's why you wait. Who knows what this year's Hall of Fame will be?
Yeah, and that was where I was kind of going with it, is there's no guarantee of fans.
There'll be some, but it won't be what you want.
I feel like he should go in on his own. Even though nobody should really go in on his own, their own, he should go in on his own. And honestly, Vince should put him in.
Oh yeah, without question. All that being said, you have theories.
So, WWE has been putting out a lot of footage of The Undertaker's past matches, including quite a bit of the Bray Wyatt stuff, which I find very interesting that they're putting out the Bray Wyatt stuff. And then on top of it, Taker has been putting Bray over like a motherfucker, especially The Fiend, and how much he loves The Fiend, and how creative he thinks The Fiend is, and how great he thinks this all is, and, you know, that Bray should hold on to what he's got as tightly as he can and not give up the control of it, because Taker did mention that Bray has creative control to a certain extent of The Fiend. And to not give that up.
He's the strongest character WWE has right now.
I have a theory, because here's my thing. Taker being Taker, and this may be wrong, but Taker being Taker, Taker would want to put somebody over on his way out. He tried to do it with Roman. It didn't work, okay? I mean, he put Roman over, but he didn't retire. I feel like he would want to put somebody over on his way out as a respect to the business, as a nod to the business. Because when you retire, you are supposed to go out on your back. That's what you're supposed to do. You put that guy or that girl over, okay? I feel like Taker would want to honor that, and I can see him giving that nod to somebody, whether it's Roman, whether it's Braun, or whether it's Bray. And they don't do a full match between Bray and Taker, but you have Bray Wyatt get his revenge on The Undertaker, and you have The Fiend destroy him and send him off into retirement to where Taker can't get him. And as we all know, everybody changes when they meet The Fiend. So Taker becomes Mark, and that's how you get rid of The Undertaker, and you send him off into wherever. I mean, even if we just have the stare down between the two, and it's almost as you could do that, even if you don't want to have them get physical. If Taker doesn't want to get physical, he tips his hat to Bray as a send-off. I think that would be good as well. But just something between the two. I feel like they're going to have something between the two, because Bray is not on this show. He's not mentioned anywhere, but they've been talking an awful lot about Bray Wyatt in context to The Undertaker. It's very interesting. Finn Balor's also been making a play for Taker, but he's not being discussed as much. So I feel like something's going to happen between the two, but I don't know. They send Taker off in style, nothing else happens, he goes away, and everybody cries. Or you have Bray Wyatt come out and murder The Undertaker, and he just gets that luster back on him. Because I feel like they need to do something with The Fiend to sort of put that luster back on The Fiend. And this is the way to do that.
It is the way to do it.
They're portraying him as a face, but here's the thing. Bray Wyatt has the hit list, and he's not a true baby face.
Fiend never forgets.
The Fiend never forgets, and he's gotten Kane, and basically The Fiend is righting the wrongs that were done to Bray Wyatt, and Bray Wyatt got his ass whooped by The Undertaker at least twice. Technically three times, but one was at a house show. So I feel like you can right that wrong with The Fiend by having The Fiend take out The Undertaker, even if it's just he puts the mandible claw on him. And that's like, here's the thing, you don't even have to have that doing that. What you do is you have The Undertaker standing there, everything kicks off, The Fiend sneaks up The Undertaker, everything goes black, there's black for a couple seconds, and there's The Undertaker laying on the ground unconscious, and there's The Fiend like standing over him. You could do it as simple as that. Where Mark doesn't have to take any bumps. He doesn't have to get physical, even though I'm sure he would want to. And it feels weird calling him Mark, by the way. I don't even know if we should. It feels disrespectful. Anyway, he doesn't have to get physical. And it makes The Fiend look like a boss. And he can tick that box off his list. And then that way, She could attack Michelle. Alexa could absolutely attack Michelle, or in this instance, you don't have Alexa involved. But you could have Alexa earlier in the night tease Michelle, because I have a feeling that they're going to have cutaways throughout the night of people backstage with the Undertaker, or Undertaker backstage, or him kind of like hanging out throughout the night. I feel like we're going to get one or two of those, and we have the reunions kind of thing. And so you could have Alexa tease, like, go after Michelle a little bit, which then leads to Bray. Or you just have Bray show up and you don't have Alexa involved in that instance.
I mean, so, you could in that manner. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's the best. I'm not saying it's the greatest, but it's just something that it finishes that story out. Because I feel like if you're going to do it, now is the time. Because there is no guarantee that Taker's going to do WrestleMania next year. This is almost a certainty, but you never know with him. Right, and that's why we're saying maybe, possibly, definitely, but nobody really knows. So if he doesn't, this is the way for Bray to get his revenge on Taker, and you finish that story out with those two, and Taker goes off on his merry way, and he goes and he cooks in his kitchen, and he enjoys life, and he has to get out of the house in 6 months because Michelle's ready to kill him. Maybe.
I mean...
Well, no, think about it. Like, normally this time of year, he starts training for WrestleMania, so he's probably out of the house a lot training, and this year, he's not going to be
doing
that.
They're stopping him. They're stopping him from training. That's what this retirement ceremony, or final farewell, because they're not using the word retirement, is they're stopping the training for Mania part.
Yeah, they're just like, we are doing this now, we're gonna nip this shit in the bud. No! So, and Michelle's probably like, yes! But yeah, you know, in 6 months, when, you know, he's just into everything and she can't get rid of him, she's going to kick him out of the house. And it's like, go do something! Because he's that type of person that I feel like he always has to be doing something, or he's always into something. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, he just kind of drives you nuts after a while. Not in a bad way, just, you know, it's that type of person where it's like, get out of my house.
Well, he'll probably be golfing a bunch.
Yeah, he's probably going to be on the golf course a lot.
Probably is on the golf course a lot, let's be real.
I think he lives on a golf course, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean, perfect. He can just go out and work on his golf game.
So, we're going to get the big support, the big, you know, celebration, the big honor. There's going to be a heel on the roster that shows up. I don't know who. Someone. Some low-level heel. That'll show up, and they're going to get their ass kicked by the Undertaker. Whether he does a tombstone or a chokeslam, he's going to physically attack somebody. Because someone is going to just mouth off to the Undertaker, and they're going to get their ass kicked. Because the Undertaker's not a guy who's just going to wave his hat and go say goodbye. It's not Taker. He's going to beat up someone. I don't know. Okay. I don't want to say this, but I'm going to put it out there.
Don't!
No, not his. The group with the R, I could, in theory, see playing a factor. I doubt it, but I could.
Frank, go to your corner.
Yeah. You mean it would make sense. Have Kane and Undertaker take out that group with the R. You know, theory. It's a theory. Don't want it, don't expect it, but it rattled in my head. That's all. But I feel Taker's going to beat up somebody. He's going to get it down on one knee, and we're going to get the full Taker pose, and the roster will cheer him, and they'll cheer him and then disappear, and he'll be the only one left on stage, and he'll raise the fist, and everything goes black. I assume that's how that happens. I wish there were fans for this. God, I wish there were real fans for this.
It makes me sad that he's not doing this in front of a crowd of like 80,000 people, and he doesn't
that's
get that one final send
him.
Off.
It's what we all want for him.
But at the same time, I'm surprised that they're going this far with it, just because I always felt like he had already had that twice.
I legit just thought, okay, he's just showing up to celebrate the 30 years and going to do a little segment. And then we're doing the final farewell. When they said final farewell, I went, oh, God.
It's going to be emotional. I'm going to cry. It's going to be awful. And I will be sad for at least 2 weeks, and then I'll get over it probably, maybe, never. Anyway, but yeah, it's... I feel like part of this, too, and this is just me, is them finally putting their foot down with him and being like, we love you, but please stop. And I'm not sure who said it, if it was his wife. If it was his work wife, if it was Vince, who was it, you know, who actually said it? But yeah, this will be hard, because he's kind of that last of that old guard for us that is walking away. And if you think about it, 30 years in one company as essentially one character, just multiple personalities and variations and incarnations of that same character, that's entire people's lives. That's insane. And just the impact that he's had on the industry as a whole, and the amount of people that he's inspired to get in the business or be better in the business. I mean, it's like we talked about it on the Kane and Taker stuff, the Brothers of Destruction documentary, where, you know, Kane basically said, without you, I wouldn't necessarily be where I'm at. He's like, if it wasn't for you, after Isaac Yankum DDS, I probably would have packed up and gone home. But it's like Taker was right there with Glenn, motivating him the whole time. And eventually they created Kane, and eventually, you know, 23 years later, here he is. Like, and there are thousands or hundreds, maybe not thousands, maybe thousands, who knows, of stories like that about Taker, that you hear that about him, that he's so behind giving back to the business and teaching and growing people and just helping people. Like, you hear how selfless he is in terms of the business, whereas like he's in that top spot. He could be an asshole about it. He could protect it. And be like, you know what? No, I'm not going to share. I'm not going to give back. I'm not going to do, you know, what I should do. I'm going to be a dick about this. He gives back. He puts people over. You know, it's like, what was it? The WrestleMania 30 story where he's like, I showed up. I was going over that day. And then I wasn't. And it was like, well, I don't like it, but he does whatever what the fuck he, you want.
You know the old saying? What's best for business? It's what he does.
It's what Taker does. It's what he's known for. And I think I love that about him, that at the end of the day, he has a specific level of honor to what he does, because I don't think you necessarily see that anymore. I don't think that's taught, or people have that level of integrity in them that they conduct themselves in that manner. And I would hope that once he's had time to chill and, you know, process and get through this, although I think he's probably in a pretty good place with this. I'd imagine he's nervous, though. Is that they do something with him in terms of the PC, and they have him teach either over Zoom or something to that effect, or bring him in a couple days a week where he can impact that next generation of wrestlers and have them carry those values and those morals forward. Because I think that would be really cool for him.
I think once we get out of the COVID era, he's going to be a trainer there once a week at every month.
Until he eventually decides to move to Florida again.
Until he decides to move to Florida, yeah. That's what Sean did. I'm going to just stick my foot in a little bit. Then he packed up his ranch.
Basically. Well, he did it because Hunter was there, and it was like he's around all the boys and the girls, and he really loved working with them. And Taker will as well. I think Taker really enjoys NXT and the NXT experience, and yeah.
I've seen all the stories from like the current roster who was NXT when Taker was down there in like 2014 just giving advice. Special. Taker's special.
He is one of a kind. He will never be duplicated. He will never be, at least in our lifetime, I feel like we'll never see anybody like him ever again. Unless you maybe can't. Count Bray.
Even then you can't.
Yeah, even then you can't. Taker is just literally one of kind. And
because it goes back to Taker spent years making the character something that was not social media. There was no social media when Taker started. Bray has the unfortunate task of late night tweeting people. Taker didn't have to do any of that. He got to be the Undertaker in public, and that became his persona. That's who you thought he was. It's going to be sad Sunday.
It's going to be really sad. And I don't want to do it Sunday, because I'll probably be, or even next week. But I do want to say this, because Thanksgiving is upon us. And next week, by the way, is the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble special.
Available Thanksgiving morning. We'll be reviewing Survivor Series.
I just want to say thank you to Taker. I want to say thank you for, at least for me, 20 amazing years of him being around and me getting to see him, because I started watching wrestling late. My first introduction to The Undertaker was Biker Taker. When he came back as the American Badass, that was the first time I'd ever seen him. I had never seen any of the Dark Side stuff, any of the original incarnation. None of it. My first experience with him was as Biker Taker, and it's all his goddamn fault that I'm in love with professional wrestling. Him and Kane, it's all their fault. But anyway, and through like videos, like the old school VHSs and DVDs and everything, you got to see more of him and the network and getting able to go back and watch this. I'm just grateful for what he's given to us. In terms of his creativity, in terms of his physical body, in terms of his time, in terms of being away from his family. Because again, he could have easily said, fuck it, I'm done, like years ago and been fine. But he persevered and he carried on. And I just admire him so much for that. Because it's like, goddamn, you just hear about some of the stuff that he went through. And it's like, dude, that was not necessary. But thank you. Thank you for that. So thank you to him. I mean, just thank you for everything that he's, like I said, he's given to us. Thank you for all the inspiration. Thank you for just the good times and just the joy that he's brought, and also the friends that he's brought. Because I wouldn't know a lot of people that I know if it weren't for the love of professional wrestling and the people that I've met because they were specifically Undertaker fans, and these stupid things like flying to Kansas in the middle of winter to go meet him with a friend of mine who drove up overnight from Dallas with her 2-year-old because we were insane. And her pain to get in line because the line got cut off before we could get into it. That was a thing that actually happened, believe it or not. So thank you to Taker. Thank you so much. Thank you to his family for sharing him with us and all that you guys have undoubtedly gone through, you know, the worry and the joy and just everything like that. And I hope he enjoys his retirement. I hope he's happy. I hope he's content. And I feel like I hope that he finds whatever he's been looking for, because I feel like part of what this journey has been for him is either finding himself or finding something else. And I hope he has, in fact, found it. So, bye, Taker. We'll miss you. At least till he shows up at WrestleMania. Kidding. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I'm not kidding. But I think that does it for us. So what do you guys think?
All right, chat. We got to have a conversation. Fortnite with Friends returns Saturday.
It's a little late. It's midnight.
If you want great Fortnite content, go back and watch the VOD at twitch.tv/LindsWard. We did about an hour and a half of Fortnite earlier.
We did challenges.
We did challenges. We gotta win. We gotta win. So you wanna see our epic win, go watch it at twitch.tv/LindsWard. It's midnight. Hope you all understand. Saturday night we'll have Fortnite with Friends. Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio. Alright, I'm just gonna tell you all now. We're doing Undertaker moments. So, more Undertaker talks Saturday on the Grand and Great Debate. Sunday night, join myself, Omega, Brent, and KG as we talk Survivor Series right after the show ends. Monday will be the Raw Post Show. Available Thursday morning is the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving Special. We'll be reviewing Survivor Series tradition. You can check out the Rock Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Multiple episodes now available. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Brothers of Destruction, now available. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can subscribe for free and support the channel. Another way you can support the channel is using creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. There's tons of Marvel skins available. Venom's coming. Black Widow's out. Get them all. Creator code RocketSock. In the Epic Game Store or Fortnite App Shop, hashtag Epic Partner. Another way I would really greatly appreciate you supporting the channel is by going to manscaped.com. Use code WTRLive. Buy something. 20% off. Buy something for a loved one for the holidays. Please. I don't ask much from anyone. Do that. I would greatly appreciate it. Get free shipping as well. That's manscaped.com. At Wild Talk Radio, please follow that on Twitter. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at LinsWard, LNSWRD. You can also follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. And as Rock said, please go to manscaped.com. For the rest of the month, you can use code WTRLIVE and get that 20% off plus free shipping. We would greatly appreciate it if you did. You can also do the boss command in chat to get that information as you need it. So there is no Fortnite with Friends because it is 12:10 here in the East Coast. It is late, and you know what? Some of us want to go to bed because some of us do have to work in the morning. So that's what we're going to do. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week for the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.